This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1831. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. Above all, the dynamic medium of international shortwave between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, recorded June 22nd, Albania, Antarctica, Armenia, Ascension, Brazil, China, Cuba, Germany, India, Ireland, Korea South, Madagascar, New Zealand, North America, Russia, São Tomé, Sri Lanka, Taiwan, Thailand, Uganda, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. It's unfortunate to note that Radio Tirana, Albania, is having some severe transmitter problems, at least during their English to North America service, at 0130 UT on 9855. Or really, it's been varying from 30 to 50 hertz on the low side of that frequency. On June 18th, 21st, and 22nd, when I checked the broadcast, there was very little, if any, program modulation, but instead heavy hum, distortion, motorboating, or a roaring hum buzz. Let's hope they can get it repaired, since it's the last shortwave transmitter that's functioning at the Shijak transmitter site, and this might be affecting their other broadcasts as well. The annual BBC World Service broadcast to the British Antarctic Survey I mentioned last week did indeed occur on Tuesday, June 21st, from 21:30 to 22 UT. They used three of the four frequencies tested 1 week earlier. Here in deep North America, I could barely hear the Ascension relay on 7360, but it was somewhat audible further east, and in Europe, they were hearing both that and Wooferton 5985 quite well, and the third frequency from the UAE, 6035. Using the SDR in Holland, I was able to detect that one as well and tell that, as usual, it was slightly off frequency. Fortunately, the broadcast has been preserved and is available on demand on the BBC iPlayer. Alan Pennington and the British DX Club found it there the next day. The exact URL for it is a bit too complicated to convey verbally, but of course it appears in the new DX Listening Digest, number 16-25, via worldofradio.com. The Atlantic Relay Station of the BBC is celebrating its 50th anniversary on Ascension Island. And to mark the occasion, Ascension is issuing a neat set of six stamps on the 3rd of July. Thanks to radio philatelist Juan Franco Crespo in Spain for bringing us this to our attention. A press release about it explains about the anniversary and what the design of each stamp is about. Even if you're not a stamp collector, you might want to see if you can get these stamps or even order a first-day cover. Here's the website of the Mint, which prints the stamps and presumably the way to order them, www.povjoystamps.com. Fortunately, I've not noted this so far away in North America, but Brazilian DXers have been complaining that the 6120 transmitter, which was Rádio Globo, and is now owned by IPDA, the Pentecostal Church, God is Love, has been putting spurs out all over the 49-meter band. The other major Pentecostal shortwave broadcaster in Brazil, SRDA, which means Super Radio God is Love, had been missing from its 25-meter band frequency for several weeks. But June 18th, before 0600, I was hearing it again on its telltale split frequency, 11764.651. Then June 20th, at 0135, I was hearing the carrier on 11764.63, buried in heavy splash from Cuba. And I also checked out all the other Brazilian off frequencies in the 25-meter band and found one which was on frequency, 11815.0, very weak, but presumed to be Rádio Brasil Central, which is not religious, and it has been reactivated. That's confirmed by a report from Paulo Roberto Perez Michelon in the Radio Escudas group, who was very happy to report that he was hearing it again on 11815 as of June 20th. He's in Porto Alegre. Paulo Michelon was also alarmed by the possibility of Radio Nacional Amazonia going off the air. It seems the agency running it, EBC, the federal agency, might be subject to budget cuts, but further discussion from others suggested that this would affect TV more than radio. In any event, let's hope that 6180 and 11780 are not cut off shortwave. Wolfgang Büschel does a lot of monitoring using remote receivers, including the one in Pilayandala, Sri Lanka, owned by Victor Gunatelica, and has this report on June 16th. Special Chinese jamming against Western broadcasters, BBC World Service or VOA, is still continuing. He says some of these white noise and scratching metallic sound jammers are still on the air 24 hours, even when the BBC schedule shows no service on those channels. These seemingly are local jamming in large metropolitan cities in China, like the USSR did in Moscow and other big cities, against radio liberty. For example, jamming signals are visible on the display of about 10.2 kilohertz wide broadband blocks around 1755 UT June 16th on these frequencies, 13590, 13695, 11810, 9410, 7375, 6195, and 6080. And we should make clear that most or all of these broadcasts are in English, not Chinese, yet China needs to jam them. Have you noticed that Radio Havana Cuba hardly ever, or maybe never, announces in English what its frequencies are? However, they do frequently promote the fact that they are now on some FM frequencies inside Cuba, notably 102.5 in Havana and a couple of others, supposedly 24 hours. However, Chris Dunn in South Florida, a very active FM DXer, says he has heard 102.5, especially when he's visiting the Florida Keys, but it's not Radio Havana Cuba. All he hears is dead air, and this has happened several times at different times of the day. The other two FM frequencies often announced are 103.1, which is in Mayabeque, and 91.7 for the Isle of Youth. Researching this further, I checked the RHC website, radiohc.cu, and guess what? There they claim the Isla de la Juventud frequency is 97.1, a transposition typo, I guess, but which one is correct? If RHC does manage to modulate on FM, the question arises which languages get to be on there when there's more than one running at the same time on shortwave. English must be high on the list with all the promotion it's getting, allegedly. Shortwave Service is one of the low-power German shortwave broadcasters on 6005 and some other frequencies, but they're also getting time on high-power transmitters elsewhere. So filed under Germany Non is the following. On Wednesday, June 22nd, Shortwave Service will broadcast via Gavar Armenia for a new client, 11 to 12 UT on 15780, 100 degrees at a power of 100 kilowatts for Asia. Also would be aired the same day at 18 UT on their own transmitter 6005. In fact, this broadcast is called Voice of the Report of the Week. At that hour, we can't really expect to hear it in North America. But thanks for the news via bclnews.it and also reported in ADX and monitored by Wolfgang Büschel and others. That's a rather strange name for a broadcast, and I wonder what is it really about and who is doing it. Does anyone listen to it for content? Wolfgang Büschel recorded some clips of it to demonstrate the reception quality. So from that I glean it's an American accent speaking informally. He says it's about reviewing products having nothing to do with shortwave radio, and that he had been on WBCQ a few years ago. But he wants to reach Asia, apparently, where Armenia would serve better. This was a trial broadcast. I finally found something more about it from a fundraising website. Here at the Report of the Week, which is all one word, we mainly produce reviews of food, fast or frozen, and energy drinks, and also produce a podcast called VORW, as well as a weekly shortwave broadcast going by the same name. Ivo Ivanov says Deutsche Welle will be testing some frequencies via Trincomalee, Sri Lanka, June 28th to July 1st, including two of them in English at 04 to 05 UT, 15255 and 17800. Also, 15255 during the previous hour from 03 in Swahili, all of these aimed at East Africa. From Alok Das Gupta, Kolkata, on Facebook via Alokesh Gupta, New Delhi, DX India, this about the Akashvani Maitri channel. The special Bengali service from All India Radio Chinsara, 1 megawatt medium wave, or the Akashvani Maitri channel, will be inaugurated by Honorable President Mr. Pranab Mukherjee on 28th June for listeners in Bangladesh and West Bengal. The programs can be heard on 594 kHz medium wave at midnight 30 to 09 UT and 1000 to 1730. The current external service programs now broadcast will be aired in DRM mode, 10 kHz higher on 604 kHz, the same transmitter. Alokesh Gupta also report that AIR Bangalore's DRM transmission on 7550 was back on the air June 18th, 1745 to 1945 UT. That's one of those carrying two separate programs, GOS in English and Vivid Bharati in English and Hindi, aimed toward the UK and Western Europe. Also on DX India, Joe's Jacob adds that they also restarted 11620 in DRM, and soon we'll do that on 17895. Regarding Ireland on longwave 252 kHz we mentioned last week, Chuck Albertson replies, I was in London last weekend and there was no sign of RTE on 252. It was buried under Algeria, even when I tried to null to Paza. I'll check again next month, but I'll be in some Madagogo new hotel that has bad reception. Prithviraj Purkayasta in Assam has some very sad news. The KBS World Radio management has decided to discontinue the DX Capsule segment aired on Listener's Lounge, the Saturday program, as of July 16th. So his final Indian DX report will be on June 25th. He's offering a specially endorsed QSL for the occasion, for those sending reports to his address with return postage. I suppose that means that Kevin O'Donovan will no longer be heard either from Farmington, New Mexico, if he's still doing it. Because of incompetent frequency management, I have not really listened to KBS World Radio for a long time. But this is the best time for us to hear it in North America. This should be appearing between 13:30 and 14 UT Saturdays on 15575. It appears that Madagascar World Voice is still employing only one of its two transmitters, leading to missing broadcasts from their original schedule, like English at 18 UT on 17640. Spanish broadcast at 02 UT on 6190 was being heard on June 20th at the beginning, but it dumped off the air at 0204. So that one is also having transmitter problems. Radio New Zealand International continues to surprise us, for whatever reason, by not following its published schedule. June 17th at 0453, I found them on 11690, a very good signal with a talk show. By 0501, it had changed to the correct frequency, 11725. It's supposed to be on 15720 until 0458. Then, later that day, at 12:13 UT, I was surprised to find RNZI on 6170 during the hour before it normally comes on at 12:59. Once again, a very good 20/9 signal, indicating it's on the north-northeast antenna, which is more favorable for us. Furthermore, the other transmitter was also on parallel 9700, slightly weaker, but Normally, it's only one transmitter on AM going while the DRM transmitter is taking a rest. The DRM-capable transmitter, of course, can also be run in AM, and that's what has been happening. At 1258 UT, 6170 went off, saying they were changing frequency to 6170. The canned announcer didn't know he was already on there. At 1259, 6170 came back on, presumably having switched transmitters. But after 1300, I found that 9700 was also back on the air and in parallel. I was hoping they would keep this up, making for much better reception in North America, but on June 20th, it was back to normal. Only one frequency going, changing at 1259 from 9700 to 6170. Via USB, AM, FM, Internet, and International Vacuum, World of Radio 1831. Our website provides a great deal more information, archived back for many years, worldofradio.com, which is non-commercial, just like this program. No new thanks to render for financial support, since none has been received since last week. I check our money order in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702, or via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO at yahoo.com. During the past week, I received two very unusual pirates, and I'm not aware of anyone else reporting them. June 17th at midnight 40 UT, I found a signal on 6908.50 USB. It was Nixon's first oath of office as vice president in 1953. With Eisenhower and Truman beside him, apparently an authentic historic recording, but was edited so that he repeated certain phrases of the oath, as if to mock him that decades later he might violate the oath. This was followed by a heartfelt solo of America the Beautiful, by an old-style operatic tenor with an exaggerated enunciation, two verses, and then a prayer by a rabbi, and then the whole thing repeated. I've had another when a third repeat started. There was radio teletype interference on 6910, but it was nicely notched out by the NRD 545. The Nixon transmission was S3 to S6, slightly above the noise level of S3 to S4. Then on June 20th at 0216, I was band scanning the 90-meter band, where you don't normally find pirates, and uncovered something very strange on 3278.50 AM. A very poor S6 signal, equal to or less than the storm noise level, but I could copy a few words here and there. It sounded like a lecture about World War II in a matter-of-fact tone, rather than an archived news report. It was not a repeating loop. At 0220, they mentioned the Congress of the United States declaration of war with Japan. Still going at 0256, when I changed receivers, but the reception was about the same. I posted this to the DXLD group as soon as possible after 0300, but no one replied about hearing it themselves. Should either of these wish to tell us anything about them, such as the name of the pirate, and verify my catch, I would appreciate it very much. Russia's primary shortwave station now is still being reported. Have you heard it yet? NBC Sakha. Walt Samaniev in British Columbia was visiting his remote DXing location on Haida Gwaii Island. June 16th, 7295 was heard at 1250 UT at a fair level, with adjacent splatter and parallel to 7345 under a Chinese station, playing Russian vocal music. There was a quick announcement and into a fast-paced modern Russian dance piece. 7345 seemed stronger and a better choice, if not for the Chinese interference. There were time pips at top of the hour and off about 1301 without any announcements or ID. Radio Sakha also reported by Ron Howard, Pacific Grove, California, June 21st on 7345 from 1038 to 1101 with pop songs and ballads in Russian. 10:58, a brief interval signal on a jew's harp, which was playing earlier than usual. No time pips at the top of that hour. From 11:01, mostly blocked by strong CNR1 sign-on from China. The Parallel 7295 had ham interference and a slightly weaker signal. While Salmaniv also reports June 16th from BC, hearing Radio Svoboda, Liberty, on 17770 via the Thailand relay at 0405 UT until off at 0500 as scheduled. This provided good reception in Russian to the far east of Russia, counting down the days until they leave shortwave on June 26th. No more Radio Liberty in Russian or allied languages on shortwave after that date, as we've reported before. The full schedule, as long as it lasts, we have already published in DX Listening Digest. An update to the report we had about the chirping VOA relay Saltame on 4940 from Tobias T-squared in Germany as of June 21st. He checked on Saturday, June 18th, between 2030 and 21 UT. The chirping and distorted audio unfortunately continued. Even worse, the variable frequency spur varies around 2.4 kHz, which is still more annoying because frequency-wise it's even closer to the main portion of the intentional voice or music modulation. The sign-off past 21 UT was only announced and then made without the prior Yankee Doodle Dandy tune. He says that it's hard to believe anyone would bother listening to such an annoying audio signal. I wonder whether VOA just doesn't care, or maybe there's a technical issue they simply could not resolve for weeks. I sure hope they get it fixed very soon, since 4940 usually offers quite a strong and well-audible signal, although it's in English only on the weekends, in parallel to Botswana on 4930, which is perfect audio but a weaker signal up here in Central Europe. Radio Taiwan International is running a contest for listeners to congratulate them on their 88th anniversary, as if that were a significant number. Maybe it is in Taiwan. There are extensive rules about how to do this, and prizes up to $250 cash, U.S. Juan Franco Crespo in Spain sent us a link to their website about this in Spanish. Perhaps you can also find it in English, such as events.rti.org.tw. On Sunday, June 19th, I found the African service of WWRB 15240 already in the Luganda language, presumably at 16:25. The broadcast had been starting at 16 UT, but with other programming. Now it sounds like Radio Manansi has been expanded from 2 hours to 3, 16 to 19 UT on Saturdays and or Sundays. Last week we mentioned that World of Radio is now available as a podcast via iTunes. And now, thanks to Keith Weston, we're also available via Google Play Music. Keith Weston set this up as well and created a short URL replacing the official link of 186 characters. It's bit.ly/worldofradio. Now we have much more info about the new owner of the shortwave equipment of KJES in New Mexico, which went off the air a couple of years ago. George Thurman sent a clip of exactly what Alan Weiner said about this on his worldwide show. He was reading a communication from John, the new owner. I wanted to announce I was out in New Mexico about 2 weeks ago. I was touring KJES shortwave. I liked the station so much, I bought it. I got two transmitters, an Elcor SW50 and an Elcor SW25 with a solid-state modulator. Also, two rhombic antennas, all the spare parts and test equipment. So look for a new shortwave station soon. The new owner is John Gorski, and he subsequently contacted me with more info. My company, Shellsburg Community Broadcasting, has purchased the assets of KJES Vado, New Mexico. Plans are set to renew the license and move the transmitters and antennas to a new site. A temporary transmitter site will be constructed to serve while the main site is reconstructed. Upgrades are planned for the transmitters and antennas. I replied, I see your company once applied for a low-power FM station in Shellsburg, Iowa. So does that have anything to do with the location for this shortwave operation, and what kind of programming are you planning? Shellsburg is a little town of less than 1,000 near Cedar Rapids. John replies, the LPFM has nothing to do with a shortwave station. I might construct a standby shortwave transmitter near Shellsburg, Iowa. The main station in New Mexico must be relocated to a new site. A standby station would be in order to allow broadcasting while the New Mexico is reconstructed. The standby would be retained as a standby transmitter site once New Mexico is on the air. I plan to wake the world up, at least on shortwave. There will be some programs from KJES, from the Internet. The folks at the Lord's Ranch have been very good to me, and I will return the favor. There will be some airtime for those that want to be radio stars. Of course, I plan to carry World of Radio and Chuck Harder's For the People. Free time will be used for music and some talk programs. I'm open for suggestions. After all, it's all about you, my audience. We look for reception reports, which will be entered into a drawing to be held on a Saturday night, where we will give away a BST-1 car shortwave radio to some lucky listener each week. The log periodic antenna has been sold. It did not handle the power very well. There are two rhombics, two transmitters, and I'll add a rotatable multiband Yagi. I also have another 50-kilowatt transmitter, which might be added to the mix. Upgrades to the 50-kilowatt include a solid-state modulator. One transmitter on site already has a solid-state modulator. Some new audio gear is also on order, including a couple of new Optomod audio processors. Studios will be both in New Mexico and Iowa. There will be an automation system with live assist capabilities. I don't know when the first broadcast will take place. I have been involved in broadcasting for many years. I was at one time a partner in the old Radio Earth International and have built many transmitters, AM, FM, shortwave, and even some TV transmitters. As far as World of Radio, it is an asset to the listening public. I would encourage you to think about developing some other programming in addition. Mike Cooper forwards a long story from the Wall Street Journal of June 16th, headlined, The Existential Crisis of Public Radio. With both its stars and audience aging, NPR is struggling to adapt to the digital age. The most innovative people are doing podcasts. This is spurred by the imminent retirement of Garrison Keillor from Prairie Home Companion. His last show will be in early July. Here's a public notice from the Federal Communications Commission about a noise inquiry. The Technological Advisory Council, TAC, is requesting input to help answer questions about the study of changes to the spectrum noise floor over the past 20 years. Noise in this context denotes unwanted radio frequency energy from man-made sources. Like many spectrum users, TAC members expect that the noise floor in the radio spectrum is rising as the number of devices in use that emit radio energy grows. However, in search for concrete evidence of increased noise floors, we have found limited available quantitative data to support this presumption. We are looking to find ways to add to the available data in order to answer important questions for the FCC regarding this topic. The notice is dated June 15th, and the deadline for comments is August 11th. A link to the full announcement is in DX Listening Digest. The propagation outlook from Boulder, geomagnetic field expected to be unsettled to active June 23rd to 27th, July 7th to 12th, and 14th to 15th, with G1 minor storm levels likely July 2nd and 3rd, with ANK indices peaking at 25 and 5. Solar flux rising from 75 June 24th to a peak of 90 July 9th to 11th. Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio 1831.